stop using new oil and gas. In March, the government confirmed that they will no longer issue new licenses to companies for oil and gas explorations. The group plans to restructure with new strategies to continue their fight against rapid global warming, economic collapse, and mass deaths, among others. Just Stop Oil will have one last action in London's Parliament Square on April 26th. On March 28th, a 7.7 magnitude earthquake hit Myanmar, which is the strongest that the country experienced for about a century. It caused huge casualties, including the collapse of ancient and modern buildings and thousands of deaths. As of April 1st, the death toll has reached over 2,700 and is expected to increase for the next few days. More than 4,500 were injured and more than 400 are reported missing. Rescue efforts continue as they attempt to find people stuck under the rubble. Meanwhile, there has been inefficient disaster response as local military conflicts restrict access to struck areas and limited international assistance, particularly with U.S. President Donald Trump defunding the aid group USAID. A new study shows that the U.S. tariffs on pharmaceuticals will likely drive up costs and lead to shortages of Canadian-made drugs. Author of the study, Mina Tadros, who is a drug policy researcher at the University of Toronto, found that accessing essential drugs where the most known or used products are Canadian can become difficult. These include medications for treating HIV infections and preventing seizures. Although trade agreements between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada exempt imported pharmaceutical products from tariffs, the new round of tariff announcements expected on April 2nd is causing uncertainties. Tadros said that minor shifts in supply chains create shortages because manufacturers cannot quickly meet increased demands, and that these could affect both the U.S. and Canada. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.
CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
You're listening to Gospel Unlimited on CJLO 1690 AM. So glad you're able to join us here.
Stay as we bring tuned you the to best CJLO 1690, gospels. Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon. From Montreal's most diversified gospel show, Gospel Unlimited. Join Ray, Tanisha, and Curtis as they take you on a musical journey and share stimulating conversations along the way. Don't miss it. Saturday mornings, 10 to noon. Gospel Unlimited.
Almighty and all-powerful God, thank you for this other wonderful, beautiful day of life, God. Please forgive all our sins that we know and do not know. Please bless all the people listening and the people who aren't listening. Amen.
I'm out here alone in tread and water. The clear air tells me there's a storm coming. I'm not afraid of the dark cloud, gonna wait it out. Got me raising my heart now and I'm fading out. I'm waiting to be certain to be safe, knowing that I'm certain to be. I'm sinking down the rock bottom. I'm not afraid of the dark, I'm gonna wait it out. Got me raising my heart now and I'm fading out. I'm waiting to be certain to be crazy. Every time you call me, but I never saw it. Every time you tell me, just go back where you call me. How we even started, now I'm just the far away. Too worried about my problems, I ain't let God in. Yeah, it's a game changer when I speak to the Son of Man who got me in his hands, I don't need to pretend like I got it all together, cause he do. He will never leave you, every day we need you.
Traveling with me. Hey now, don't dream it all. When the world comes in, they come to build a wall between us. We know they won't win. Yeah. Oh no. Now I'm towing my car. There's a hole in the roof. My possessions are causing me suspicion, but there's no proof. In the paper today, tells of war and of ways, but you turn right over to the TV. Steps to the door of your heart. Only shadows ahead, barely clearing the roof. Get to know the feeling of liberation and
Jesus. Jesus say yes, nobody can say no. When 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 Jesus say yes, nobody can say no.
Feeling overwhelmed by the state of the world? You're not alone. Join Mosaic for How to Choose Between Apathy and Empathy in an Overwhelming World, a workshop designed to help you navigate burnout, cultivate compassion, and balance your mental and emotional well-being. Join us on April 11th at the Hall Building. For more info, visit our website at mosaic.org.
Tune in to the Anatomy of Creepy Music right here on CJLO 1690 AM every Saturday from noon until 2 p.m., where we examine the origins and the evolution of music from the Caribbean.
You're listening to Gospel Unlimited on CJLO 1690 AM. So we're going to be moving into our talk segment. And the scripture that we'll be looking at today is Luke 5, verse 17. I'm going to read it for us, and then we will unpack it. So, Luke 5, verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. Verse 19, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." So this passage is taken from Luke 5, verse 17, and it's really a profound passage. We have with us, of course, our co-host, Prophet Philip, and his insights are always revealing and inspiring. So we're gonna take this one apart, and there's something about this this particular passage, Prophet, that it really... there are a lot of questions that come up in this passage. And, you know, one of the first ones is, you know, this man was paralyzed. He couldn't move. And, you know, the story is shared where he's brought there by, it doesn't say who brings him. You know, it could have been his family, it could have been his friends. But whoever these people were that brought him, they were exceptional people. You know, I wish we all had friends like that or people like that in our lives, because... you know, they brought him to the house. The house was surrounded. They couldn't get through. And you know what they did? They went on the roof. They took the roof apart and lowered the guy down. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I mean, when I think about that, I'm like, wow. Like, who could care about somebody that much to go to that length? You know what I'm saying? To take a roof apart, to even go on the roof carrying a paralyzed man and then open up that roof and That's lower right. the man down. Mm-hmm. Like, whoever those people were, you know, the scripture doesn't say, like, it doesn't, I don't know if you have any insights, but I don't see, you know, it just says, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed. So men brought him, but these men were just not regular guys on the street, you know. Mm-hmm. These must have been, like, people that really cared That's about right. this guy, you
That's
know.
That's right.
So it's really amazing to see, like, do you have friends like that who would move the world for you? Like, do our listeners, do you have friends like that, you know, family like that who would, like, go to the end of the world to, like, just to help you a little bit?
I believe that, you know, friends are not, how they call it, friends are to be made, which means that you got to be very selective and know who you call friend.
Yeah.
Right. And also, one thing, I believe that your friends reflect who you are.
Mm.
So I believe that this gentleman that was paralyzed was a man that has a good heart, because, you know, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? So I believe that it's about time that we really, you know, make friends that really can move us, can help us in times of trouble, because that yeah. is the essence of friendship.
Yeah,
that so you can help me.
That's an interesting point. I think the idea is, like, birds of a feather flock together.
That's right.
But how do we find friends like that? You know what I'm saying? Is it just a trial and error, or is it just over a process of time that you kind of weed out those who, you know, share the same values or inspired in the same way? Like, or is it just you just inherit other people's friends? You know, we introduce one person to the other. Hey, I like you. Let's hang out together, you know?
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Every day as we go out, as we go through our day, okay, that's when we connect to friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't search for friends.
Okay, interesting.
We connect to them.
Okay.
I meet you.
Yeah.
And there is connection.
So there's a natural connection.
That's right.
Okay, okay.
So every time you connect to a friend naturally,
yeah.
that friend will complete you.
Okay. Interesting. Complete in what sense, though?
In other words, yeah. your weakness will be the strength of that friend.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Okay. So, for example, I am your friend.
Okay.
We connected. You see, I have weakness. Everybody have weakness.
Yeah.
So my weakness will be your strength.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe my weakness is anger.
Okay.
You have a whole ton of, you know, patience and all that.
Mm.
So you complete me. Where I fall short, you comes in to complete it.
That's interesting.
But so, when we yeah. are looking for friends,
yeah.
we will look for friends
that are more like
for
us.
Our own opportunity,
okay.
you know, gain.
Right.
Right. So I'm want to friend you
yeah.
because I know you have money
yeah.
and you can help me.
Yes.
Then I'm looking for friend.
Yes.
But if I'm connecting to you,
yeah.
it's not about what you have. It's not about who you are. It's about the connection. It's yeah. natural.
That's really interesting. So there's the idea, I think the first idea is that, like, your friends balance you.
That's right.
So it's not necessarily somebody who's exactly like you.
No.
In fact, it's someone who's different.
That's
in a certain
right.
way that offsets your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like how you sort of distinguish between the opportunistic approach to finding friends, where you're looking for somebody who's going to bring you to the next level, mm-hmm. maybe career or profession or visibility or popularity, versus finding someone else who is maybe on an emotional, intellectual, and spiritual level, gonna balance you out, right? So
That's
it's like,
right.
so they could have somebody essentially it's not a friend, it's somebody who you use, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could use other people to elevate ourselves,
mm-hmm.
or we could connect with people that are gonna help us grow on a different level. So that's really profound. So, you know, going back to the scripture, it's really amazing to see that these men who brought this paralytic, they were exceptional. And I'm really moved by the length that they went just to bring this man before Jesus. But I think the other thing that stands out is that, like, even though they were greeted by an obstacle, a crowd, they didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though they were greeted by a roof, they didn't stop. They went through it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So it's just to think of, like, how I could be like that for my friends at the same time. Like, How can I care about my family and my friends to that extent, or even brothers and sisters in the faith, that I'm going to be willing to go that far to help them, you know?
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says something very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It says that friends, or a friend, loves at all times.
Yeah.
And a brother is born for a time of adversity.
Yeah.
So if your friends are genuine,
mm-hmm.
you connected to them,
yeah.
they will love you at all times.
Yeah.
And this is what just happened there.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys were true or genuine friends.
But you know, the scripture that you read, I feel like there's a distinction between, it's making a distinction between a friend and a brother. And a brother specifically is born for adversity, meaning that like it's the hardships that define the level of friendship. You know, are they able to stay? Like, you remember Job? How
yes.
Job like experienced all of these painful experiences, and some mm-hmm. of his friends like turned against him and they're like very critical of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like that. Like, even David has many stories, like when it's like, you know, when they were sick, I fasted and I prayed. But when I was in trouble, like they laughed.
That's
and they
right.
wanted to destroy me. Right. So I think maybe it's an adversity that we are able to really measure the degree of our friendships.
That's right. I believe
yeah,
that.
Yeah. That's really cool. So what's really cool here as well is that like these men, they lowered like. They went to the nth degree to get this man, their paralytic friend,
mm-hmm.
before Jesus. And what's really cool is when we look at the scripture, Jesus says in verse 20, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. So it doesn't necessarily say that Jesus was looking at the faith of the paralytic.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I read this, it's almost as if Jesus is looking at the faith of they're his friends, mm-hmm. the ones who brought him.
Mm-hmm.
And that again introduces a very powerful idea when it comes to miracles, mm-hmm. because this is a miracle that's happening, but it seems as though it's the faith of the friends
mm-hmm.
why Jesus healed this man.
That's
you know?
Right.
And even that thought that, hey, I could believe even for somebody who doesn't have a lot of faith, we could intercede
your
for them.
Faith,
we could have
right.
we could demonstrate faith mm-hmm. on their behalf,
mm-hmm.
and they would still reap the rewards of that. You
that's
know, they
right.
would still be blessed by that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really powerful. Like, especially when you know you have Christians, yet not everybody's a Christian. Not everybody believes in God. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, you know, thinks God is real. But as a Christian and who engages and interacts with the world around me and people who don't necessarily share my views, I could still pray on their behalf.
That's
I
right.
could still intercede for their needs,
mm-hmm.
and we could still witness God's healing and providing power in their lives,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a great example where the faith of these individuals really unlocked an opportunity for Jesus to bless and mm-hmm. heal this man. But what's also interesting is that this man was actually not healed, he was forgiven.
There's something there before we go there.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Jesus saw their faith.
Yeah.
So now there's something very important here. We got mm-hmm. to understand that faith is visible.
Okay. So visible, when you say visible, are you referring visible with
you
the natural eye or with a spiritual eye or
okay.
in what sense?
You can't tell me you have faith
mm-hmm.
without deeds.
Okay. So visible by actions.
That's right.
Okay.
So is the action of these friends or these men that moved Jesus?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people that say, I have faith, but it's okay, it's in my heart. And the Bible says in the book of James that faith without action
yeah, is dead.
Is
yeah.
dead.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I think we should learn something very important here mm-hmm. that if you have faith, make a move.
Yeah. If you got faith,
make
a move.
A move.
Maybe that should be the title of our show. If you got faith, make a move.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So it's not necessarily the fact that they believed in Jesus, the fact that they yeah. made a move.
That's right.
Wow, that's really profound.
Because it's the move that brought the miracle.
Yeah.
Right, so
yeah.
they can say we believe in Jesus, we have faith in Jesus, but without the move, then we could not provoke that miracle.
Yeah.
So anytime we make a move, we provoke God to release what we desire.
Interesting. So the action is the trigger then.
That's right.
That's the real trigger. Wow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So this man, like we see that the healing, like this man is paralyzed. But Jesus doesn't say, get up and walk.
Do you know why?
Well, I personally think that, you know, at the greatest need of all of us is a need for to be at peace with God, to be forgiven, right? Okay. So I would say part of it is that the spiritual need is actually greater than the physical need.
The reason why is that what brought the paralytic was sin.
What made him paralytic or what brought him there?
What made him
paralytic.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my assumption as well.
Yeah.
That it was the sin that made him.
That's right.
But wait. But when his sin is forgiven, he didn't become whole.
He became automatically.
Well, he became spiritually.
And but physically.
But we only see later that Jesus heals him physically.
Okay. So you got to understand this.
Okay.
The physical manifestation, right, start from the spiritual.
Right.
So when he was forgiven, automatically the healing took place. But it has to come in the physical.
Right.
That's where Jesus worked it. You see, when we're talking about healing, we have many types of healing.
Okay.
Or miracle. We have working of miracles.
Okay.
That you work the miracle. You help that individual.
Okay.
You see, when Jesus prayed on the blind man's eyes and asked him, what do you see? The man said, I see men like trees.
Yeah, it was a little blurry.
That's right.
Still,
so Jesus have to what? Helped him out.
Okay.
Now he spit in the sun and put it on his eyes. Right?
Yeah.
He was helping him.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that the miracle had not taken place.
Okay.
But the man needed help to see or for the miracle to come in its full manifestation.
Okay.
So this gentleman right here, when Jesus said your sin has been forgiven, that was the time that he was made whole.
So when we say made whole, we understand that he was made whole on a spiritual level because he was forgiven of his sins and at peace with God and at union in that reunion relationship again. But from a visual perspective, he was still a paralytic. I think what I'm hearing from you, though, is that the process of him being able to stand and walk also started when he was forgiven of his
sins. Right.
Okay. So then the question then becomes, like, if Jesus didn't do the additional work, because we see here, like, later on that he says, for the sake of demonstrating that he has power over sin, he's going to heal the man. He told the man to get up and walk, right? So if Jesus had not done that part, say get up and walk, would the man still be a paralytic or would he still have gotten up at some point and walked?
The man would have gotten up, but his healing would have been progressive.
Okay.
Not instant.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes, let me show you something. You remember Jesus healed some lepers?
Yeah.
And told them to go and show
themselves to
the priest.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Bible says that only one came.
One came back.
But when they were going, the Bible says on their way, they were healed.
Okay.
Now, when the one came.
So, pausing there, like on their way, so their act of going was the act that triggered the faith. Yeah.
That's right.
It was the action that triggered.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
So, after that, one came to Jesus and what? And thanked him and worshiped him. And Jesus asked, where are the others?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, because of your acts, you have been made whole.
Okay.
Not you have been healed. Because whilst they were going, they were being healed.
Okay.
But when he came,
he was made whole.
Now, it means that there's difference between being whole
and being healed. Yes.
When we are talking about being healed, it means that that particular place
is restored.
That's right.
Yeah.
But when we are talking about being whole, we are talking about when the spiritual part, the emotional part, the mental part, and the body, physical part is complete.
So let's pause on that for a sec. So let's, when we go back to this illustration then of the paralytic, I think what I'm hearing from you is that Jesus actually made him whole.
That's right.
Before he healed him, essentially. Or he made him whole first, but the healing is just a byproduct of being whole.
That's right.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. That's very, very fascinating. There's a lot in the scripture, and I really love how you bring out these different elements that, you know, we don't really think about. So here, I think the distinction is between being healed and being whole.
Oh, that's right.
And if I were to ask the question, which one is of more worth, of greater value? Would you say that they're equal, or are Is or one is dependent on the other, or one is a subset of the other? Like, what is the relationship then between wholeness and healing?
God desires us to be whole.
Okay.
Because if you are healed, right?
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
The sickness can come back again.
Tomorrow, yeah.
But if you are being made whole,
then it's permanent.
That's right.
Okay.
So it's like you having headache.
Yeah.
Or and trying to take medication. Mm-hmm. That medicine you take can subside the sickness. Doesn't yeah. mean that the sickness is out of your body.
Yeah. It may just be dealing with the symptoms.
That's
but
right.
The real root is
that's
still there.
Right. Okay. So when you are healed, you are not whole.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are whole, you are completely healed.
When you're whole, then you're completely healed.
In another words, that sickness cannot come back again.
Interesting. So maybe our prayers should be more for
God,
wholeness.
That's right.
You know, we should pray and ask God for wholeness,
that's
not
right.
just for healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, the priority that we see here in the scripture in Jesus, like restoring the man spiritually first, or starting the process of restoration, I think maybe that's an example for us.
That's what God desires for us. That's what Jesus first touched on, what, you know, will make him what? Whole.
Yeah.
He said, your sin have been forgiven.
Yeah.
So now you have been made whole.
Yeah.
Right now, let me work that miracle out for you instead of it being progressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the other element here that we see really comes out is the Pharisees' reaction, right? And their question, which is a very reasonable question, is who can forgive sins but God alone?
That's right.
And let's take that now into the modern age and let's ask that question. Who can forgive sins but God alone? I think the answer is still the same, right? It's still God alone who can forgive sins. So if I were to ask the question, well, who can heal? Is it still God alone, or can we turn to modern medicine and technology?
You know that modern medicine, behind this, you know, there's God behind.
Okay. So you're saying that God inspires modern
that's
medicine?
Right.
Okay.
And God brought all this natural remedy or natural resources for healing. Mm-hmm. Who created them?
All yeah. Right? Yeah.
Good. So it's very, very, very important. Even though there's natural medication, you got to understand that it's God that created it, God that gave people wisdom, inspired people. It's God that is backing it. So you got to understand that, you see, even you going out or going to the gym and all this, you know, it's God that brought all this, you know, inspiration for people to create all this object so that as you go through the gym, you run, you exercise, you can, you know, strengthen your body. So we should understand even in this modern day and this medication and all that, God is still behind it.
Okay.
So it's God that is still healing.
Okay. So what about, so let me just, maybe this is a little bit of a tangent. We see that when God heals this man, like he was healed completely, you know, there were no side effects, right? I think with modern medicine, oftentimes there are side effects. You end up with a different disease than you one that you
want. No, let me come here.
Okay.
The modern medicine that has side effects are the medicine that are not organic.
Okay. So you're differentiating
because
between
of
synthetic
greed,
versus... Oh, good point, yeah.
Because of greed.
Yeah.
There are people that are doing so many things that are not organic, natural.
Yeah.
To get more money. These are the medications that has side effects. But the natural ones, there's no side effect.
That's a really good point. So I think what I'm hearing there is that like the greed drives like pharmaceuticals to... use synthetic materials because it's they could create it in the lab, it's cheaper, they could increase their profit margin, but they do it at knowingly that there are side effects, but there are alternatives that potentially are organic that can have similar or better benefits without the side effects.
That's right.
And so that brings the idea then that like God has really in within nature and within our world, God has given us all the tools that we need to maintain ourselves,
to maintain
our health.
That's right.
It's really profound. So, I mean, this scripture has, you know, there's just so much packed in here. And I feel like one of the lingering questions is really how do we reconcile to a certain extent that our sin sometimes brings us and has effects in our lives that paralyze us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, this man was like physically paralyzed. But in other ways, I think we can all be paralyzed, maybe in a different way, by our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, the question is like, how do they get delivered? How do they get wholeness, to your point? And I think part of it is going to Jesus, you know? Mm-hmm. Here we see that like this man was taken to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if everyone has someone in their life that could take them to Jesus.
I think the first step to healing or miracle,
mm-hmm,
is acceptance.
Acceptance of
you
what?
Got to accept that you need help.
Okay. That you're sick.
That you're sick.
Yeah.
If you don't accept it,
yeah,
even if you go there will be no healing.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So these friends and this gentleman,
mm-hmm,
accepted that he needs help.
Yeah.
That's what moved them to go to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what moved them to believe in the power,
yeah,
of God. So if you don't accept your errors, your mistake, you don't accept that you need help, you don't accept that you need Jesus, then even if you go to him, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So we have to understand, first step to everything regarding deliverance, breakthrough, miracle, yeah, is acceptance.
You know, that sounds very simple. But I'm just thinking about...
It's deep.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking about, too, like how difficult it is for people, and I'm speaking of myself as well, to
that's
sometimes
right,
recognize, mm-hmm, like when something is off, when something is sick.
That's right.
When we're sick, you know? In one sense, like, it's all, almost that our minds are not sometimes ready to recognize or accept that. Sometimes we need other people to help us see that or understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the work of the Holy Spirit to kind of reveal it in time. But the idea of acknowledging, and I'm thinking also of like different mental illnesses as well. Like
that's right.
Some of them, like the mental illness is that they cannot recognize that they're sick. You
do
know?
You know why the first step to a miracle or breakthrough is acceptance? Because when you accept it, it brings you at the place of humility.
Okay.
The Bible says that those that humble themselves, God will lift them up.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that God resists those that are what? Prideful.
Proud, yeah.
So if you can go to God for help, you have to be humble.
Humble, yeah.
And to be humble is to accept that, God, I need you.
Yeah.
God, I need help. God, I need your hand. God, I need... And sometimes, as we're saying, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Because you said something. People, there are a lot of sick people in suits.
In suits, yeah. I didn't say that, but I'll take it.
But they're not accepting that, yeah, they are sick.
Yeah.
That's why they are not finding help.
Yeah.
They are not seeing the hand of God.
Yeah.
So this gentleman that brought this paralytic man to, mm-hmm, Jesus,
mm-hmm,
they accepted that their friend,
yeah,
needs help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even if he wasn't fully convinced himself, their faith and their pursuit, mm-hmm, of healing for him,
that's right,
resulted in his healing.
That's right.
And what's interesting too is that like when we get to the end of the story, we see that you know, Jesus tells him to take up his bed and go home, and it says immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on,
mm-hmm,
and departed to his own house, glorifying God.
That's right.
You know, and so I wonder a little bit, like here, this man doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. The story's about him, but he doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. Because in a sense, it's almost as if it has nothing to do with him. He's actually just like a spectator as Jesus does what he's doing, right? Mm-hmm. He's a spectator in the story. But on the other sense, you could almost say that he is the main He's maybe not the main character, but he's an important character because everything that's happening is happening to him.
But this is very profound.
Yeah.
Now, it means, or what I can, you know, say about this, when you go before Jesus,
mm-hmm,
when you go before the Lord,
yeah,
you got to know that it's not about you.
Yeah, it's about...
It's about him. It's this about is him. What this gentleman is demonstrating,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
It's about his power.
Yeah.
His glory,
yeah,
his hand,
yeah,
his direction,
yeah,
his favor that, mm-hmm, makes you who or what you desire,
yeah,
to become.
Yeah.
This is what this man just demonstrated.
Yeah.
I am sick.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's about God's power.
Yeah.
So I don't have to dispute. I don't have to talk. All I do, I obey,
yeah,
to see my desire comes to.
Yeah.
And this is deep.
It's very deep.
Because nowadays, you know, a lot of people or a lot of Christians, when they go to church,
it's about me.
It's about me. Yeah. I don't like this. Yeah. I don't like that. Yeah. But Ecclesiastes says, when you enter in the house of God, keep quiet.
Yeah. Let your words be few.
That's right. It's not about you.
Yeah.
It's about the one that we have come before.
Yeah.
So this man just really showed us something very profound.
Yeah. I almost see it almost like a play. Like when you go to like the theater and you have all the different actors. I feel like this man is like, you know, his role is to be lowered down. And then his only words are like when he gets up to glorify God in the end. You know, that's the only word. So it's really amazing. I think, you know, I think that our ability to recognize when God has done something in our lives and then the fruit of our glorifying God is really important. Sometimes I feel like we fail to recognize God's blessing.
That's right.
And as a result, we fail to acknowledge God for who he is, you know? And when we look at Romans as well, it talks about like the Bible says, because they failed, like in terms of the unregenerate and those who have sort of abandoned the faith or reject God in general, the distinguishing feature is that they fail to glorify God for who he is and for creation. Instead, they developed futile minds, minds that were foolish, right? So I think being able to acknowledge God and being able to glorify God kind of go hand in hand.
That's right.
But when we fail to acknowledge God, then we also fail to glorify him and we sort of lose out on his blessing, and we lose out on sort of the fact that, to your point, it's all about God. You know, we are just playing a role in the story, but it's all about him.
That's
in the end.
That's right.
So ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this conversation. Again, the passage is taken from Luke 5 verse 17. We encourage you to read it. The Bible is a book that anyone can read, and it's very accessible. You could Google it, pull it up on an app. And we really strongly encourage you to read this story and really reflect on kind of how it affects your life and or how, and through your experiences and your life experiences, where you've seen God kind of intervene in other people's lives or even your own. So this has been a very deep and profound conversation. Again, we entitled this one, what was it? What was the one that you use? Act, or what was it? Do something?
I forgot.
Okay, so we have like, we call this one Unnatural Miracles, but I love your title, man. It was like, believe and do, you know, have faith and do something.
Yes,
so,
faith and act.
Yeah. So we encourage all of our listeners today, whatever you've been thinking about, whatever it is that you need from God, we want to encourage you to act
That's
on that
right.
faith. And we're gonna
move,
say
move.
Move in faith, move believing. Move believing that the thing that God is able to do it. And I think we've got a caller. Let me try and pick up the phone here.
Hello, Cicello. Hey Gordon. Okay, no problem. Sounds good. Will do.
So we had a caller coming in, and I think they agreed with our conversation.
Wow.
So definitely our hope for all of our listeners today is we've shown in our conversation that, you know, the proof of faith is action.
That's right.
And even if, you know, you feel that you don't have enough faith, the faith is not about your faith. It's about who your faith is in.
That's right.
So we want to encourage you that, number one, God is real. Number two, his power and ability are real, and all you need to do is take a step of faith. And we'll say a brief prayer, and then we'll maybe have some last words, and then we'll close out the show from there.
You said it all.
Okay. Father God, thank you so much for this wonderful conversation that we've had about your word, and thank you for how you've demonstrated your power in our lives, Lord God, and in the lives of those around us. We just want to pray for all of our listeners,
Jesus.
God, wherever they're at, whatever holds them back, whatever chain paralyzes them, Father, we pray that you'll intervene by your divine power and might, that you'll give them the strength to stand up, take up their bed and walk, and to take a step of faith, Father. And Lord, when they take that step and when they see your hands working in their lives, help them to be able to glorify you. Help them to not say it's a coincidence or not think it's just random, but help them to realize the connection between their faith in you,
Jesus,
the step that they've taken, and the results that you've delivered. So God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to be on CGLO 69 AM. We thank you for Gospel Unlimited. God, we thank you for my brother, Prophet Philip, and for Evangelist Ray. And God, thank you for that we're able to reach this city through this ministry, and that you've provided us a platform to share your truth in your word. For as long as we're here, God, help us to glorify you and to please you. And we surrender the rest of this weekend to you. We pray this now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You're listening to Gospel Unlimited on CGLO 1690 AM.
Waits at every end. grace I know. Should I rise or should I fall? You are faithful through it all, and you're too good to let me go. Smiling over me, slowing down enough. Enough to see your love, enough to see your beauty in this place. Held in your love, you let me know you delight in me. To you I run. You are my place of rest and safety. Will you cover of me? Will you cover me with your wings? Will you cover? Will you cover of me? Will you cover? Singing over me, slowing down enough. Enough to know your hope, enough to know in you I can just be.
Feeling overwhelmed by the state of the world? You're not alone. Join Mosaic for How to Choose Between Apathy and Empathy in an Overwhelming World, a workshop designed to help you navigate burnout, cultivate compassion, and balance your mental and emotional well-being. Join us on April 11th at the Hall Building. For more info, visit our website at mosaic.org.